though it is on the National Eating Disorder Association's website, like, it's there prominently. Mm-hmm. And it's increasing in kind of regularity of it being an issue. It's orthorexia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially, it's where you become obsessed, or the ideas of being healthy and fit and what those ideals are.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically becomes like an obsession, and it takes you to very dark places.
Right.
So it's not so just the habits of doing healthy things, but it's rather your association with like your success as an individual and person rely on these things.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got an interesting topic for you today. We always talk about different subjects regarding health and wellness and the importance of wellness. But today we're going to probably expand on a topic that Shannon brought up as kind of a trend for 2020 that kind of reinforces that idea that wellness may not be as healthy as it seems.
Yes, actually, it was one of our predictions from our 2020 predictions mm-hmm. episode that wellness is on its way out as like a fad, or not even as a fad, but as like a actual thing. So from a fully transparent, real, helpful, life-improving activity. And basically saying that wellness has just mostly become like a marketing term to slap on a lot of different stuff.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to kind of explore that by talking about a, you know, certain topic and condition that may be being created by the dedication and essentially kind of like
over-marketing.
Over-marketing and just like devout pursuit of wellness without any type of regard for anything else. So
yeah, it's like blind faith. There's
yes.
no real reason,
mm-hmm.
necessarily factual support, not criticizing religion, just saying.
Right. So yeah, we're going to talk about that and how that a kind of a topic it relates to the wellness is dead subject matter. But before we do that, thank you guys for listening each week. We really appreciate it. We're getting some awesome download numbers. Thanks to you guys. Keep sharing the podcast. Keep rating the podcast. Apple Podcasts and on the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page, you guys can leave those ratings and reviews. And remember, any rating and reviews you guys leave, we will definitely give you a shout out on a upcoming episode.
Yep.
So training reviews or training recaps, training reviews. Training recaps. I guess it's you can tell we haven't done this for a couple weeks.
I know.
So my training recap was somewhat limited. We know we had some house stuff going on, so we were trying to get that taken care of this week. And so I got some workouts done. Been focusing on my legs because my arm specifically, shoulder still giving me issues. So I'm really hitting the legs as of late. A lot of hinging, a lot of mini band exercises. And it's actually kind of interesting because I'm prescribing another one of my longtime clients some hip strengthening exercises with the mini bands because he's going to be going to South America soon to go surfing.
Wow,
so he wants to be able to pop up on the surfboard and
Damn.
Go when, of course, he hasn't been surfing in years. So
that's
I'm trying to give him the hip, you know, some hip strengthening exercises to help him with that. But my shoulder is, it's good, has its good days and bad days. So sometimes I try some chest or shoulder exercise, something that I know is light and not, I would say, more of an isolation exercise. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. So I'm going to keep, you know, trying to stretch and work mobility to see how that is. And hopefully I can get some positive results so I can get back into lifting like I was. Well, probably not like I was, but maybe just back to a good lifting schedule.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What'd you do this week?
I don't really have much to report.
No?
No. I did a lot of late night working this week, pretty much every day this week, including one very, very late, late night. Friday night to like 1 in the morning on Saturday. So that has pretty much killed my mojo to get up early to do much. So I'm feeling it.
Right.
I'm absolutely feeling it. I feel a little bit like I've been kicked around because I've not really been able to dedicate time and energy to that. So, but there's always a window of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I always notice when I stop working out, not only do I start feeling it in my body, but I also feel it in my head.
Yeah.
And like the negativity and the stress and the anxiety, it always ramps up when I'm not doing that kind of regular physical kind of exertion and activity. And I have decided that I can't just rely on physical to kind of keep the, I call them my little demons, you know, the things that keep you up in the middle of the night. But I can't just rely on physical to harness those. And I really have to find, if I can't get up to do a workout, I have to find another way that I'm going to be able to kind of check that stuff, because otherwise my severe anxiety issues will come back and it'll be lots of sleepless nights and unhappy, stressful moments in the middle of the day and random times. So I'm looking at adding some new meditation techniques to my repertoire, and also dedicating, not just trying to meditate in the morning, but also like in like the mid-afternoon, like not like right after lunch, but like between like noon and three probably, I'm thinking.
Right.
I'm going to try to do like a 15-minute break in there and just do this particular technique. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try it. If it's something that I really like, because it's based on a book that I am just now finishing reading, I will report back.
All right.
But I'm hopeful.
I've always had good, you know, we've mentioned it on the podcast before. I do the Headspace app, and that's specifically guided meditation. Is this something that's going to be guided, meditation, or this
No, I use Calm, so right. we're opposites, like in terms of the app we like. I am a very dedicated Calm proponent. You're very, you found Headspace to be your jam. So I still love Calm, but I want to get out of the guided meditation because I don't just want to use meditation and, you know, the process to kind of get me present. I really want to delve more into meditation and not just mindfulness, which I feel like the Calm app is great at getting you present and mindful, because there's like a voice and it's, you know, I don't know if it's as much like quality meditation. So I'm going to try a different method. And also this method includes and really has a focus on manifestation.
Okay.
So, and there's things in my life, things in my head that I just feel like are in chaos right now. And I don't have any like clear answers around them. And I need to figure them out. And I feel like manifestation for me, when I focus on it, it's very effective, but it takes usually a lot for me to be able to focus on it. So if I can find a way to make it a part of my day-to-day practice, I think that would be better for everybody.
All right. Sounds good.
So yeah, like I said, if it works, I'll report back more what it is, exactly the technique that I'm using, and how I've found it.
Yeah.
If it's good.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. All right. So with this, the main topic of today's episode is the idea of wellness being too much of a good thing, essentially, and creating, I think, basically negative habits within people. We kind of discovered this You're looking at me sideways.
Well, I don't know if I would call it negative habits. I think it's more wellness becoming a root of anxiety and stress.
Okay. All right. Well, what does that entail? Why don't you introduce them to the topic?
Well, we came across this term, and I've heard it mentioned before, but I don't know if we've ever talked about it. I feel like I asked you about it, and you said no. I don't know if I've heard of that.
No.
Was it new to you?
Definitely.
I came across it in an article and had done some just kind of searches after that. But it's the term, it's a condition. It's not considered an actual eating disorder, though it is on the National Eating Disorder Association's website. Like, it's there prominently. Mm-hmm. And it's increasing in kind of regularity of it being an issue. It's orthorexia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially, it's where you become obsessed, or the ideas of being healthy and fit and what those ideals are.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically becomes like an obsession, and it takes you to very dark places.
Right.
So it's not just the habits of doing healthy things, but it's rather your association with like your success as an individual and person rely on these things. And it's like we can just read you exactly. We found a couple different sites. But on National Eating Disorder Association, they've got a really good just general definition, but it's essentially a psychological condition.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. And it's something that actually does need professional assistance and kind of treatment when you get this. It's orthorexia nervosa is the
technical term,
mm-hmm. the professional term. It's just an eating disorder that involves an unhealthy obsession with healthy eating. So it doesn't necessarily mean that people with orthorexia are looking at losing weight. It means that they're so fixated on like the purity of their foods, like it being organic or being vegan or being like, you know, grass-fed beef that lived a beautiful life and then was humanely slaughtered and, you know, every piece was carefully provided in a kosher kitchen and
right.
not in contact, like that kind of like obsession with everything in terms of like the healthy eating, like all those different components. So yeah, I guess it really kind of came up in popularity or became more well known because of a blogger
uh-huh.
a few years back named Jordan Younger. And she basically came out and said that her motivation to eat healthy became so obsessive to the point where she was malnourished.
Right. And this okay.
That's like, I mean, it's damaging. It could be damaging. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're like a skinny, you know, so obsessed with calories. It's more of like the quality of like healthy foods and everything being healthy.
Right. So it probably causes more anxiety than actual kind of like physical reactions like something like bulimia or anorexia, or is it still kind of yet to be seen how people react to it, or is that defined yet?
Well, they do say that there's compulsive tendencies.
Because, I mean, that's when I hear something of like that, like you said, you know, anxiety-induced eating disorder.
Yeah.
So it's like, I obviously there probably could be some individuals that suffer from, you know, effects similar to anorexia or bulimia that suffer from this, but I think, like you said, it's probably a little bit more of, I don't know, about depression or anxiety-induced kind of symptoms that result from this constant pursuit of perfection in regards to healthy eating.
Well, they say that some of the risks for this are actually tendencies toward perfectionism.
Right.
High anxiety. Or a need of for control.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting concept in, or topic, not concept, but and I know you kind of brought it to light with not only that one blogger, but you said the Lee from America.
Yeah, she's an Instagrammer who she has a blog, but she had a really, really big dedicated Instagram follower. I mean, she contributed to health websites like Mind Body Green. Like, they reported on her. That's how I came across her. And she was somebody who had some dependency. Like, she had like some issues with like alcohol in her past, and she found healthy ways of living that mm-hmm. kind of pulled her out of that. And she was the kind of person where, like, you couldn't keep up with her self-care because it was so freaking time-consuming. Yeah. And it was, like, everything. Like, get up and greeting the sun every day. And she'd spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes making a matcha or, you know, like an adaptogen blend drink in the morning. And
after yoga and stuff
after,
like that.
After yoga. And, like, she had like these certain recipes that she'd do, a lot of like plant-based foods. I mean, I enjoyed reading her stuff, not because I took everything she did and said to heart, but because some of her recipes were decent. And I choose to find people, you know, sharing examples of what they do, not as how I should live, but rather, well, that's an idea for, like, you know, if I want to do a special thing for myself. Right. And she was living it every day. And she basically, I was following her when she said, I need to take a break. I'm going to get off Instagram and I'm going to go work on myself. And I mean, she is someone who I think has a pretty good grasp of herself. You know, looking at herself as part of her self-care routine, but it sounds like she was featured in, you'll joke where we found this, but mm-hmm. Teen Vogue mm-hmm. was actually where I found this. She did an interview with them while she was on her like little sabbatical from social media, and she came back earlier this year, and I never saw any explanation of what happened, why, or anything. But apparently she did this interview with them while she was, conveniently, she did an interview with Teen Vogue while she was on her sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And talked about how she actually went and got treatment for orthorexia because she found, like, you know, she was posting all these things and felt like it was misguiding other people and felt like, you know, she was going to lead other people into sort of the same danger zone that she found herself in. So I think that's awesome. I think that kind of self-awareness is really important. And I think it's a great topic that she brings it up and she does talk about it. But it's tricky because I feel like it's a very slippery slope.
And you said she kind of shows examples of taking it to the opposite, like extreme on the opposite end too.
I don't know what the treatment for this is. You know, I follow some other people who are in like the kind of influencer space who have come out and said, like, you know, I've struggled with an eating disorder for half my life, or you know, being someone who kind of struggled with my own postpartum issues. I appreciated, like, the ones that came out, the other mothers out there who came out and said, like, yeah, once you stop nursing your child, all of a sudden you feel like you've lost purpose and all of that. And I relate to those people, and they've talked about their treatment, and it really ties to not following. They were treated for eating disorders specifically, but it's like, it's about not weighing your success based off of what you eat or what you weigh or whatever it is that you are attached to. So right. For her, I'm guessing it's the quality of your food, your health quality of your food.
Well, I mean, they even talk about an article looking through it. She talks about, you know, she wanted to be skinny too. She was obsessed with the way she looked. Mm-hmm. So like I said, it's probably, I don't want to make any generalizations, but, you know, it's, as far as eating disorders go, it has a lot to do on, you know, your appearance, your body image.
Well, and the Healthline article said that healthcare workers, opera singers, ballet dancers, symphony orchestra musicians, and athletes were at the most frequent groups of people who experience this.
And it's interesting, you know, obviously that those groups you just listed, people that are in front of large audience who have to, or performers, for, you know, lack mm-hmm. of, for a pretty general categorization for those people. Influencers, online influencers, are also essentially performers who have to, you know, essentially have an image for their followers.
They have a brand. They have to live their brand.
Exactly right. And that's what I wonder maybe it's more in regards to, like, similarities between those groups you just mentioned, but it's like, maybe this is something that's much more common in people who are online influencers, because they have to perpetuate this constant image of wellness, the epitome of wellness, if you will. You know, and that's really hard. Like, it's one thing I know I probably don't do. I feel like I do a decent job of, and I know just from a straight marketing standpoint, I can do better. But I try to show on my Instagram that I try to start a lot of exercise stuff and a lot of, you know, motivational stuff with clients who've, you know, either lost weight or made gains and stuff like that. But then I also show stuff on my stories or just pictures of Ella just being a dad and stuff like that. Just trying to, I don't know if I'm trying to show people that, hey, it's like, I'm just a regular guy too.
Normal life.
Yeah, exactly. I have a normal life too. It's like I said, we always try to talk about, we don't get frustrated when we don't tag each other.
Yeah.
But like, we want to put out there, it's just like, you know, we're just regular people.
Yeah.
We might want to like talking about wellness a little bit more than the next person, but, you know, we are just people who are trying to figure it out ourselves.
Yeah. It's like, you know? we're like health, fitness, health, wellness, armchair experts.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yep.
And that's based off of a passion and industry, mm-hmm. not industry, interest, passion and an interest in those topics. But it's also, if anything, we're here to talk about, you know, with that, our name of our podcast is Addicted to Fitness,
right?
Which we struggled with in the beginning because we're like, is this a negative connotation?
Yeah.
But honestly, it's kind of the battle that we fight every day.
Yeah.
Between being, you know, how do you be a proponent for health and fitness and not fall into this kind of trap?
Right.
How do you sit and talk to people about, you know, improving their diets and being more fit and doing these great things for themselves, taking time to meditate, teaching yoga? Like, how do you do that as a person without feeling like you're living that ideal lifestyle? Like, there's part of you that, and I'm sure if you know, we ask people this, there's that imposter syndrome feeling that you have a lot of.
Yep.
I think that social media has amplified that in a lot of ways, because there is this sort of ongoing need as a person who wants to share information and share things with people about your passions, that you have to live that and you have to be that, and like, any sort of like flaw or failure to be exactly that is going to cause people to doubt your authority on that subject.
Yep.
And I mean, freaking like, we talk all the time about how we are not perfect. And that was why we said, let's go with Addicted to Fitness.
Yeah.
Because it is the balance that we're really focused on.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that we have to fight.
It's the pursuit.
That, yeah, it's the constant pursuit for what we know we need in our life. And it's also the fact that we are living a regular life and we are always working. And it's not about you fail one day. It's not about the fact that this week I didn't work out at all.
That's why we always do training recaps, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad, right?
Yeah. It's the fact that this is the real freaking deal. This is the real situation. And it's not a glossed over beautiful Instagram feed. Like, we pointedly don't have an Instagram feed. We only have personal Instagrams because we don't want to generate a whole beautygram feed of inauthentic, you know, misleading information. And we already share our lives as much as we want to on our Instagram feeds for ourselves. That's why we do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pointed decision. It's ties to so much of what we do and what we believe in and what we stand for. You know, the fact that I truly feel like social media can be used for good, that digital wellness is something we're still trying to discover, that it's probably something that needs to be taught versus something that we just are going to discover on our own. But, you know, it's making the decisions to reject those things that trigger your feelings of inadequacy or failure or doubt or stress. And finding those people and those things out there that inspire you. Orthorexia is growing in popularity. It's basically every single article that I found, and I'm sure you, when you were looking, you found the same thing.
It's becoming more prevalent.
It is. But they can't report on it because the reports they do have, it's anywhere from, like, you know, 6% of people coming in have this to 90% of people.
Right.
I mean, there's just so much gray area.
Yeah.
That in the reporting of it, and think of all of the people out there that don't report it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, like you said, it's really probably becoming much more prominent because of the digital,
of course, based
life's like landscape now.
Yeah.
You know, people are getting regularly judged via, you know, online, and they're getting judged by people who maybe don't even have an axe to grind with them. They just want somebody else to essentially suffer.
Yeah, they're trolls out there.
Yeah, trolls, exactly. So I can see how this condition is becoming much more prevalent because not only are people basing our online wellness influencers, but then they're getting bombarded by positive, but also probably a good portion of negative comments that just make them think, oh, I gotta double down.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta double down. I just gotta just, you know, more macho, more yoga, more meditation, more cold baths, more sauna work, all this stuff. And I think I get influenced more than I am influenced to post. I'm influenced to try things more. Just because I see people, I try to find the people that I really, you know, not, I wouldn't say believe in, but the people that I find to be the most reliable.
Yeah.
And see what their information is and try that out. So I'm influenced in that way. But I feel like my mindset, and we've kind of mentioned it, and it's the way with this podcast, is that I'm always want to show that I'm striving to be better. And you said it too. Like, Addicted to Fitness is the abbreviated title of this podcast. You know, like you said, it should be Addicted to the Constant Pursuit of Fitness.
Yes.
You know, that's too long. It's too wordy. But that's what I know we've always made this podcast out to be.
Yeah.
Because we are, you know, people that don't have all the answers.
No.
We're people that try to seek out the answers and share it with you the best we can.
Yeah, and I think one of our ongoing kind of missions is to not just share things with you, but also bench things and tell you realistically, let's give you some perspective on it and let's give you some context. So, I mean, like whether it's research that you break down, you know, kind of, well, what is the validity of the research and how did this come to be and how can they make these kinds of claims and how does that compare? Like you talk about that stuff from that very scientific angle. I approach it from someone who has been in publicity and marketing for much longer than I'm actually going to admit to. So seeing how the spin then kind of factors into these trends, finding the people who truly we feel are inspiring and who are doing great things, it's like that is actually like an ongoing challenge. Like
right.
The guests we have on our show are, I think the best part is to hearing the real story because it's putting that passion into context. It's breaking it down and making it relatable and not just telling somebody, you know, we've got a health person who has been like, you know, an athlete and has been a really great fitness performer or something like that, or public speaker, like, yes, they've done that, but they've also gone through their own shit. Like, they've already, they've earned their way there. Maybe they went through their challenges even after or during, and, like, have course corrected. Like, there's more to it. And I think, like, orthorexia and the constant focus on, like, all of these, it's a fear-based issue, you know, it's
FOMO, right? Fear of missing out to a certain extent.
Well, kind of, but it's essentially you're so afraid to consume something that is, you know, going to hurt you that you end up hurting yourself.
Right.
And I can't say that the media in our culture especially is very supportive because every other day something causes cancer in its like exacerbated pace.
Right.
And it's like, oh my God, I thought that was healthy and I was eating that three times a day and now it's gonna kill me next week.
Right. Yeah, I know. And you know, that's like once again, hopefully a trend that you know comes a little bit more prevalent in this year is the better, you know, nutrition research being presented. But I think not only do we have to change the research or hopefully it get it packaged in a different way, but basically have the people who want to deliver it, the media, do a better job of delivering it as opposed to making a, you know, scandalous headline, which I don't know if that'll happen anytime soon.
I mean, they make money off of those scandalous headlines, right. So it's tough. But I think it's... it comes back just like any kind of research or taking the time to learn about it, find out where it comes from. Even if you don't have the answers, trying to find the people that do before you change your life based off of it, before, you know, before you follow someone on Instagram, really take a look at their content and see if all healthy habits or fitness habits or everything else aside, if they actually seem like a damn cool down-to-earth person that you would just want to like chill with. I mean, that's the kind of person maybe that you should think about following versus the person that's going to have the beautifully curated, like, don't get me wrong, I have those accounts on my feed.
Right.
But the ones that I love are the ones that show the messy in between.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. It can't just all be the glossy perfection.
Right.
Because that's just, that's like advertising.
Yeah.
That's not actually the real story that is going to inspire at the end of the day.
This is my saying, this might be an oversimplification, but you know, we're coming toward the end of this episode, but I'd say follow a few more scientists and researchers because sometimes they're, like Shannon said, they're a little bit more just the facts. So they're not more glossy and trying to put a filter on thing and making everything so pretty. They usually are more, you know, you got to read the caption, you know, the picture is just like, oh, that's a that's a cool picture, but then all the information's in the caption. I know that's a weird kind of thing to allude to, but I've talked about Found My Fitness, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, BioLane. He's a great one. He's kind of a little bit of a instigator too, but he's got a lot of good information. So those might be the podcast or the podcast. Those might be the influence you might want to give another go, opposed to all the like you said, the glossy wellness influencer. So
yeah, one of these days. And if anybody's interested, please let us know in the comments on this podcast or message us on one of our social channels. But if there's an interest for it, doing like an actual digital wellness, like how to, like how to follow the process, what it is, and how to actually start it for yourself. And get out of this sort of, if you feel like social media and like just digital and media consumption is maybe bringing you towards these unhealthy habits of maybe orthorexia, some of the things on here resonate with you.
Right.
Maybe you're concerned that this is something you might be slipping towards. Obviously seek professional help.
Right.
Absolutely. But also, I think that stopping some of the habits that may be amplifying your feelings is going to be a really big first step. And I am truly, truly a believer that you don't have to necessarily burn your phone and all of your technology. It can be there to help you. So maybe sometime in the future, we'll sit down and we'll do like a like five-step process or something.
All right. Sounds good. I'll hold you to it. You got anything else for him this week?
No, man. I'm going to go pour my glass of Ritual and kick back.
Chillax.
For a little bit.
All right, guys.
And hopefully get up early and maybe do some sort of activity tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, at the ATF Podcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.